minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Football fans, welcome into another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, episode 195. Once again, my name is Matt Fralick. You can find me on Twitter at @Matt_FRA_. And alongside me, once again, Janelle Mackey. Janelle, what's happening?
Nothing much. Football season's officially over, so now it's kind of starting to focus a little bit more on the up-and-coming drafts, free agents. Just a lot of chaos is about to open up in the NFL.
Yeah. The Monday after the Super Bowl, I'm always just stir crazy. Like, I don't know what I should be doing. Should I be looking at, like, mock drafts for fantasy football? Should I start looking at mock drafts for the draft? And, like, should I just, like, paint a room in my house? I never really know what I should be doing.
Play a little Madden.
That you can always guarantee. You know me well enough now at this point. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe do some early spring cleaning. I never know what to do with my time, but here we are, clearly recording another podcast, and let's just get right into it. So, first off, you said we gotta get a little praise of Julius Peppers today before we get too far in here.
Yep, Julius Peppers announced his retirement after, I think it's 17 seasons mm-hmm. in the league, so hats off to you. A guy who played with us for three seasons, mm-hmm. three really good seasons. Like, these were a couple of really great seasons, and a lot of that credit, I think, has to go to him. He was scary.
Yes.
Very scary. Yeah. He was healthy. Julius Peppers only missed, I looked, out of his 17 seasons, he only missed 6 regular season games.
That's incredible for someone, like, of his size, too. You would think a limb or two would just get caught up once in a while in the trenches and, like, just something be tweaked.
This guy's relentless.
For sure.
Yeah, when he was with us, 2014, he had 7.5 sacks, 2015, 10.5 sacks, 2016, 7 sacks.
Those are Kyler Fackrell numbers.
Those are. Crazy. 9-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, 2002 AP Defensive Rookie of the Year. He had his first pick six with the Packers off of Ponder. Out of all people, mm-hmm. ran it back for the Lambeau Leap.
Why would you ponder?
Exactly. A little help from Morgan Burnett. I actually watched the video today during some prep.
And nice.
Burnett's just like pointing like, dude, jump. And it was, he did not know how to get up. But he redeemed himself against the Eagles that same year back at Lambeau. Ran it all the way back 52 yards and jumped like, he knew he needed to redeem mm-hmm. himself. Mm-hmm. Jumped right up into the crowd, so... 2 pick sixes at Lambeau, resulting in 2 Lambeau Leaps.
Awesome.
Great dude.
For sure. And remember early on in his career when he was with the Bears and like how much havoc he'd create when we played him. Then all of a sudden he like now, ends up on the Packers. Yeah. Like, holy cow, we don't have to face you anymore. Thank God.
Yeah, because he was kind of just like when he played with the Panthers, he wasn't really as much a threat to us because we didn't have to face him
right.
so much.
Still a monster, obviously.
Yeah, unbelievable.
They had some really good defenses back then when they were making Super Bowl runs.
Yeah, he's a big part of that, I mean.
There was a quote I saw. He had said something about, I guess, his time in the NFL, and he credited and wanted to, you know, recognize, or whatever you want to call it, the Packers organization, the Panthers organization, and didn't say anything about the Bears. Did you see that?
I did not.
Okay, he said it was some quote, and I'm like, oh, dang, throwing shade. Like, he was only with the Packers for 3 years. Like, really weird. I think it was with the Bears a little bit longer than that.
He was with the Panthers 10 years, Bears 4 years, okay. Packers 3 years.
But, I mean, I don't know. Even
but
so.
Green Bay felt like home, according to him.
I guess so. Which, hey, we'll respect that. So, yeah, Julius Peppers, great year. Always just one of those freak of nature athletes that I love to watch in the NFL that just, like, you shouldn't be able to move that fast and catch a ball and run. And one of my favorite pictures ever is it was, like, my profile picture on Facebook at one point, him just, like, shooting free throws for UNC when, you know, he was on their team and, like, in the tournament. Like, that's awesome. Yeah, I love guys that can do that. So
And he's a class act.
Definitely.
One of my favorite moments, aside from everything he did in his 3 seasons at Green Bay, was when Rodgers was trying to come back after breaking his collarbone. We were suffering a lot as fans, and it was against the Panthers around Christmas time, I think it was.
Okay.
That'd be two seasons ago now. And you could tell Rodgers was off, and we're obviously afraid of him getting hit.
Mm-hmm.
And Julius Peppers came out and said, because he did, Julius Peppers did get to Aaron Rodgers during that game. He said, there was two things on my mind when making the sack. Strip the ball and don't hurt him. And
respect.
For me, that's just showing respect to other players in the NFL. Like, he's out there, he's a freak of nature, but he knows I'm not out here to hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out here to put him on the ground and get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and that's...
I had so much respect for him before then, and all my respect for him after that.
Definitely good way to play the game, and now more and more players are, taking after him, trying to play defense that same way. In episode 194 yesterday, you heard Andy Herman break down the Super Bowl and also get to a mailbag of fan questions. Andy did a great job breaking down the Super Bowl. We won't talk too much about that other than that it was completely underwhelming. I think the best thing about the Super Bowl for me, Janelle, is that I was just hanging out at my house and I have a bunch of leftover food. So that's like the best thing I have going for me.
Yeah.
Is like, I watched the Super Bowl, yes, but I had like some leftover, dips and pulled pork, whatever, to last me through the rest of the week. So that's my favorite part of the Super Bowl
so far.
The leftovers, always great. It's like
Thanksgiving.
Exactly. It's exactly what I was going to say. But we wanted to just talk very briefly about some of the people that were associated with the Super Bowl. I only came up with three. It was Janelle's idea to three players or three people, that are connected with Wisconsin that were in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I usually like to look for those connections.
Love it.
During
great.
Big games, Super Bowl, any sport, really. I try and find those, Wisconsin's not like my home state, but it's...
I know it's not,
it
but you like to you like to pretend to claim
in
it.
In my heart.
Yeah,
it
in your
is.
Heart.
So
okay.
I like to look for those connections, and obviously we get a couple players, but, we had the legend in the booth.
Legend in the booth.
Who didn't really get to do much predicting because nothing was really happening.
Yeah,
but
he really didn't do that too much. Tony didn't really do much of that.
I'm guessing he wasn't... He said, I'm not going to predict anything, and then nothing happened. So do we blame Tony Romo for nothing happening because he stopped predicting stuff?
Spin zone, yeah. We definitely blame Tony Romo for it not going on the over because I bet the over, and it clearly was a horrendous
outcome. I think I predicted Pats 34-27. Not even close.
Not
but
good.
Yeah, Tony Romo, Burlington, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Technically born in San Diego, because I looked this up. He was a Navy brat.
So his dad was
stationed out there.
He can claim anywhere damn near than in the whole country.
Yep, but then they moved back to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Burlington. I think he was the Racine. Is that...
Yeah, Burlington. Yeah, it's down by there, East Milwaukee or West Milwaukee.
I think
Milwaukee,
that was
kind of
the section or whatever that he played in. Awards, all that good stuff.
Baseball or basketball and football. Stud basketball player, golfer now too. He's in the pro am or whatever the heck it is. He's a scratch golfer. So
yeah,
shout out Tony Romo. That's
I'm not gonna lie.
Tony Romo.
I hated that guy.
Yeah,
when he
Tony Romo without
Cowboys.
A star in his helmet's fine. It's cool. You're in the booth, you and Jim Nance are just hanging out, hello friends, just doing whatever.
Tony Romo is one of my favorite people in the NFL now, and I would have never said that a few years back because of the star on his helmet. It's just in my nature, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm the same way with Peyton Manning, too. Wasn't really a big fan of him when
he
was a player.
I didn't mind Peyton.
And a lot of it had to do with the fact that he had a really big head, so it was really
enormous,
easy to make fun of him.
Enormous head.
But now that he's not in the NFL anymore, I'm like, hey, look at this guy. I like everything that he does now. So, yeah, Tony Romo from technically born in San Diego, but grew up in Burlington, Wisconsin. That's one of our connections
to
the state.
The second one is James White. Obviously, everyone knows who that is. Running back for the Wisconsin Badgers from 2010 to 2013. I think many would have expected him out of a bigger game on Sunday. He didn't really do anything. I think that had a little to do with the Rams' defensive scheme. Wade Phillips kind of took him away. And then that opened up holes, obviously, for Julian Edelman, who we'll talk about a little bit later on the podcast. But James White, really, really good Badger running back. I wouldn't say he's the first one that comes to mind when I think of the history of Badger running backs. But at this point in his career in the NFL, he's one of the best ones. I mean, he's got three rings now. Exactly. It's Melvin Gordon, him, and
Corey Clement,
I guess, too. Man, he's another ring. He's another one where it's like you wouldn't think of Corey Clement, but James White, yeah, three rings. That's just insane. I saw a quote. They were, you know, obviously all the media that was down in Atlanta, they talked to his dad, and he's like, would you ever expect your son to, you know, win a Super Bowl? He's like, to win three rings, he's like, I would never expect him to win one. This is just it's a dream. Like, no one expects to win a Super Bowl, let alone three of them. It's incredible. Yeah, so
one of which he should have been the MVP.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Very good point.
So I guess maybe that's why I was expecting a little bit more from him yesterday, or I guess 2 days ago, right, when you're listening to this.
But they had Sony Michel. I mean, he was the stud, and I guess
he kind of, yeah, because it was White for a while, and then Michel kind of took over the show from him. Mm-hmm. But you never know what kind of scheme they're going to have they could involve both of them. So either way, James White, obviously the big name Badger coming in, but there was also a Badger that a lot of people probably didn't know was in the Super Bowl. He was on the Rams, Rob Havenstein.
Right tackle for them.
Yep. I mean, not much you can really... He's a tackle, so there's not a lot of crazy statistics.
And a right tackle. Like, the right tackle is kind of like the lunch pail of offensive linemen. I mean, the left side's like a little bit more sexy. Like, left tackle, like, hey, block your blind side. But I think he actually did give up a sack, I want to say, to... who came off the edge on him? I don't remember. It was late in the game. They got to Goff, so... I remember him seeing kind of hand fighting a guy in the replay, and he gave up a sack. But Havenstein did actually block for James White when they were at UW-Madison or Wisconsin. So little connection there. I'm sure they had words after the game. I don't know if they swapped jerseys or not. That would be interesting to see. But those are the three that we came up with. I know Janelle was looking at the coaching staff. I looked at some of the coaching staff. Not many. The referees couldn't find any connections there.
A lot of it's not Doug Peterson who played backup to Brett Favre. No crazy connections
that I could come across. I mean, even like old players, like you're saying, like I couldn't find that either. So if anyone found any that we're missing out of those three, let us know. I'm sure someone has something out there. They're like, oh, the ball boy for the Rams side was in my Sunday school with my someone's got something crazy out there. I'd love to hear one of those. But so that was kind of the recap we had for the Super Bowl. Obviously now we're in the off season, and Janelle and I were talking today, and we're like, what are we going to talk about in this episode? I mean, I personally didn't want to talk about all the new coaches. I feel like we have talked that to death, from McCarthy being fired to LaFleur to all the assistant coaches that have been signed. And I just didn't really want to get into that because we've done that before on the Pack-A-Day podcast. All of our other contributors have done that. And frankly, I don't want to give you an opinion on someone that I don't know anything about. So we decided to do something similar to what Andy did, actually, for yesterday's episode, and just kind of put some feelers out there. What are you guys thinking? What do you guys want to talk about? What do you want to know? And I thought it was really cool just to kind of like see, you know, not a huge sample size, but I mean, our followers and I guess the Pack-A-Day nation, if you will, to see what they're all thinking and kind of just get a nice understanding of where everyone's at. We got, you know, almost a dozen, tweets of questions people want answered. So let's just get right to them. Janelle, you want to start us off with one of them?
Yeah, so I guess we'll start with, I think it's Parker Mose. He asked, is the relationship between LaFleur and Rodgers critical in the overall team success for Green Bay? I mean, I would say yes.
I emphatically would say yes. Clearly, it, you know, just fizzled out with McCarthy and Rodgers. It was blatantly obvious. I've talked about it on the podcast many times that Aaron Rodgers isn't great with his body language. So if you know something's wrong, if you think something's wrong, it's pretty obvious to tell. So that being said, if the Packers want to have any success the next 5 years, being through Rodgers' contract and LaFleur's contract, yes, absolutely, it is critical.
The relationship is important.
I can't think of a more important relationship right now from coaches to players for this team.
Yeah, and I think any sport, any level, the player-coach connection is crucial.
Yeah.
Because the more you get along with your coach, the better everything's going to flow. the team's going to listen a little bit more. Everything will click more.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's that tension, if, like, the players don't like the coach, there's going to be that tension and success will fall.
Mm-hmm.
But if everybody's on the same page, working together, they know how to work together, but they also know how to, like, have fun together. All that stuff in a pot together is what's going to be important. Not only Rodgers having a good relationship with LaFleur, but all the other veterans,
mm-hmm.
which is why they had that kind of like committee
yep.
when they were hired. So you know that they do approve of him,
mm-hmm.
which is important. So yes, I would say the connection is very important. It's important for any coach and player at any level, any sport, doesn't matter what you're doing, that connection will always take you the extra step.
Definitely.
And because, like, the communication too.
Mm-hmm.
After maybe a rough game, a rough play, it's easier to communicate with somebody that you connect better with.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if there's that tension, then if something bad happens during the game or if there's a rough loss, like, that tension just builds a little bit more and they start to play, like, the blame game.
For sure.
Instead of taking responsibility and just kind of having those, like, adult conversation kind of things versus, like, childlike conversations. Mm-hmm. So,
cool.
That's kind of my input on that.
Definitely. The next one, it's a buddy of mine, Dan DeSourcy. He has two of them. You can find him on Twitter at DDZ_21. So we'll rattle his off real quick. He said, we'll do the first one. It says, how much of a pay cut? Well, let me get exactly what he says. First of all, he wants to talk about, we'll do the sleepers first. He says, let's hear your sleeper picks for who the Packers will take at number 30. Janelle, when we're doing a little prep here, we both think they'll just...
They're going to trade away the 30th pick.
Trade away
Come
the 30th.
Come on.
Yeah,
it's the Packers.
I don't think... I think that's a really, really valid... It's not a weak statement or, like, a weak answer. I think that's actually what would happen.
We've seen it plenty of times.
Right. But, you know, hold my wrists and say, I have to pick someone. I'm going to say, like, a tackle. Maybe Greg Little from Ole Miss. Possibly one of the Iowa tight ends, Noah Font or TJ Hockenson. Those would be the guys I'd see that they could possibly target. Maybe it would fall a little bit. That would, you know, maybe the Alabama safety Thompson, but I think he might go a little bit earlier. But I would say right now, if it's tough to speculate in February, Dan, but
we need a guard.
We need a guard, but we're both going to say trade. I think that's what we would say.
Yeah.
And then his Dan's second question, as I was trying to get to when I was scrolling, how much of a pay cut would make you want to keep Clay? How much? I would say a couple million. So looking at him being in that 6 or 7 million range was what I would be comfortable with. I don't know if that's something you'd agree with, Janelle.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that as well.
He was getting about 10.5, 11 million last year, and then his, you know, 5 year, $66 million contract. So
yeah, kind of looking at we're kind of just looking at the free agents
mm-hmm.
for the linebacker position, and Clay Matthews coming off one of the bigger, he's the biggest contract.
Yes, I think he's double anyone that else is going to be a free agent. You know, what their contract was in 2018.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough. It's skewed with, like we said, Jadeveon mm-hmm. Clowney. We were looking like, oh, he's obviously hasn't got his big deal yet. He'll get it this year, but...
Yeah, so coming into free agency, he was the biggest contract. So, with that being said, probably a significant pay cut for him,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't be mad if he took that pay cut and stayed with the team.
Because as we talked 2 weeks ago, depth at outside linebacker is far and few between right now.
Yes.
And then Dan also said, would you consider moving him inside? I don't think so. We also talked about, I at least did on the episode 2 weeks ago, that I think Blake Martinez is solid as all get out. And I think Antonio Morrison is a perfect number two guy to have there. And I don't think Clay's
athleticism is... I think the roster had more inside linebackers
for sure,
than
it definitely
outside.
Did.
So keep him at outside. It's where he's been playing the last few years, so... No need to move him around. He's older.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be shifting him around like that. Could he do it? Most likely, because he has that veteran experience, but it wouldn't be what's best for the team to move him inside.
I don't think so. And I've been playing Dan a little bit on Madden recently. Yeah, it's just hasn't been going well for him. So, next question.
We'll jump into Cover 6 podcast question. Who is the one free agent you want the Packers to sign, and who is one free agent you want the Packers to stray away from?
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it right away. When I looked up the free agents, I immediately saw Ndamukong Suh and was like, nope, I don't want that guy on our team.
Even though he's like getting, what about the fact that he's getting investing advice from Warren Buffett? Did you see that in the pregame on Sunday
before
the
Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, what he could bring a lot to the table with the Packers and his shitty attitude and kind of, I guess, overly aggressive personality. You don't think that would work well?
No.
Okay, me neither.
There's been too much like toxic banters between him and the Packers, like between like kicking people and like stepping on Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. and like not just accidentally, but like stomping on him, and then he'll go and do it the next week against whoever they're playing. He is not the type of person that I would ever want to see in the Packers jersey. I don't want to see him with the Giannis helmet.
That's fair.
If we're going to succeed, I don't want him to be a part of it. I was cheering against the Rams because I don't like him. He's one of my least favorite. I don't like to use the word hate, but...
You could.
He's riding that line.
Okay.
Because he's just... I don't know. He just doesn't have the mentality. I like the people with the Julius Peppers mentality. I like class act players who don't have to hurt other people. After the play.
Cheap shot stuff.
Yes. There's no need for
stuff like that.
Any
other ones you don't want on your team? Any other mean guys that you don't want?
Not so much mean guys, okay. Just guys that I don't think would fit. I saw Josh Gordon as a free agent. Kind of a head case. Don't really know what's going on with him at most times.
I mean, to be honest, we don't know if he's playing
stuff
football.
Yeah. I saw Martavius Bryant, who has been bouncing around. He got cut like two or three times from the Raiders. Great receiver. He was good with the Steelers, but he's replaceable. Didn't really think he was anybody that we should chase. I don't want to see somebody like that who is like failing drug tests and getting cut and re-signed and cut by the same team. Those are kind of the names that stood out to me that I was like, but honestly, Sue was just the number one.
Yeah, you said that right
away.
Big
red X through him. Don't even look at him.
And then anyone you want?
Anyone that I want? Kind of hypocritical of me to say this after just ranting about Sue, but I can't stop going back to Anthony Barr.
Yeah.
We talked about him in our episode a couple weeks ago, and same with, like, he's not as cheap. Like,
no.
That one time
with
Rodgers.
It's just one play. It's one play. That's all you're thinking of.
But it did ruin that whole season for me.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Ruined what was Jordy's last season with us. So, I'm frustrated with him, but I would really like to see him on our side. I would rather see him in green and gold because I think he brings that aggressive mentality, and he's kind of one of those guys that, hey, people are going to have to line up against him, and they're going to be afraid. And I think he is one of the more reasonably priced, too. Like, would I like Clowney? Absolutely. But there's going to be a lot you'd have to give up for him.
Yeah,
so I just keep coming back to Anthony Barr. And
Barr seems like a good value, especially coming off, you know, he was a little bit of a down year. I said that a couple times already throughout this podcast in the last couple weeks. So he'd be one I wouldn't mind. We'll go other guys, I think. You know, Landon Collins, I think.
Yeah, and we're kind of excluding people who are on the Packers.
Oh, like, yeah.
We're just talking outside of
absolutely,
our system
and
right
I think
now.
That's
because obviously there's a lot of those guys that I'd like to re-sign.
For sure. I would say Landon Collins, I think, is one. He affects the game, you know, up by the line of scrimmage, down in the back end of plays, you know, over the middle. I think he'd be a great guy to have. Tyrann Mathieu, it still blows my mind that the Texans signed him for a one-year deal for $7 million this year. That is incredible. That is extremely good value, but it's also a culture they created that someone's willing to come in there for $7 million at, you know, playing such a high caliber as Tyrann Mathieu. Adrian Amos, looks like he's an unrestricted free agent. Be cool to get him. Obviously, I'm just naming safeties at this point, but you know, I clearly see that as a need for the Packers. I don't think drafting one of those has worked out for them in the recent years. And the ones they've had, obviously, have walked away, Morgan Burnett, Micah Hyde. So I think those would be guys I'd like to see in free agency. You know, and then I go to the guys I don't want. Sue's obviously up there, you know, one, because of personality, two, because of fit. I don't see him fitting into what, you know, the rotation or the core is on that defensive line. And then three, he's 32 right now. Doesn't make sense to sign a 32-year-old.
He had a couple more realistic reasons to not sign
him. Yeah.
A little less biased.
LaMarcus Joyner is going to want a ton of money. The safety for the Rams. You saw him on Sunday, had a couple big plays, but he's probably, you know, he's got to be in the top three as far as defensive backs in the whole class, not even free agency class, not even just safeties. I don't really want to go after him. Jadeveon Clowney, same type of thing. He's going to get paid so much money. He's going to need a truck to bring it home and take it to the bank. He's going to get a huge contract, and I don't think having an Aaron Rodgers contract along with a Jadeveon Clowney contract really works. You know, if they can somehow make it work with, you know, Nick Perry gone, Cobb gone, Clay taking a significant pay cut and, you know, swapping a couple other guys around, maybe then it would be great. Because don't get me wrong, Jadeveon Clowney, you want to talk about affecting games, like that man will absolutely ruin an offense's game plan through a whole 60 minutes. But I don't think money-wise he's worth it right now. And then Earl Thomas, I think, you know, many, many injuries. Obviously was frustrated with his time with the Seahawks, openly talked about wanting to be on the Cowboys. I just, again, personality, I don't see that fitting with the Packers, those injuries, and he's getting up there in age. I don't see him being a guy that I'd want the Packers to go after. So that's what we have for Cover 6 podcast question. The next question we will get into is Carlos Machado. Hope I'm pronouncing your name right, Carlos. He said, three or two quarterbacks on the 53 roster and thoughts about the backup for AR. So I've never been a one to have three active quarterbacks in the 53. I think that's not a great idea.
Yeah, we kind of talked about we like having three quarterbacks, but mm-hmm. one on practice squad.
Exactly, and Andy Herman, I think, was a big, you know, Tim Boyle fan, and keep Tim Boyle on the active roster. I didn't understand that. If a third quarterback is so good that you don't want to put him on the practice squad, that he could get signed by someone else.
Backup then.
Exactly. So I don't see the point of ever to carry three quarterbacks.
As far as the thoughts of the backup.
I can go a couple different ways. I mean, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think as of this moment right now, the backup is Kizer.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a long way to go before he can, like, take over a team.
Oh, definitely.
I was really disappointed.
And he's so young. What is he, 23, 24?
Yeah, I was really disappointed in kind of what I saw those few moments that we did see him. But yeah, I'm hoping a couple more years under Rodgers will kind of get him into like the mold.
Sure.
Kind of like a offspring of Rodgers' talent kind of thing, and hopefully become a fantastic quarterback in the league, a fantastic starter one day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he is young. He had to take over a team way too early with the Browns, mm-hmm. and kind of getting thrown into that can really affect your career, which I never really liked that the Browns were just taking all these young quarterbacks and kind of throwing them to the Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that young quarterbacks need to start under a veteran to kind of, I mean, for the most part, there was a lot of exceptions this year, but it doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah.
I think this year was a big exception year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because there was such a big draft class for mm-hmm. quarterbacks.
And even year two for guys, too. You look at a couple guys that were coming into their second years having big years. I think you're right. I mean, Kizer, let's see maybe if the Matt LaFleur connection, since they were, you know, head coach and player, or not head coach, but position coach and player for 1 year at Notre Dame, that small, small 1 year span of what it would have been about 9 months they were playing football together through practice and games. Maybe that'll help. Maybe Matt LaFleur's a little bit of a quarterback whisper. We'll see. But, I mean, all things considered, I wouldn't be surprised if he brings in his own guy. I mean, bring in your own dude, groom him, and then once Rodgers, you know, goes off in the sunset after you were, you know, won four Super Bowls in a row for the Packers, you can put this new guy in.
Yeah, because we kind of looked at, like, free agent quarterbacks.
Awful.
Nobody.
Really, really bad. All the quarterbacks that were on the Redskins that finished the year out. Josh McCown, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, those types of
Brett Hundley.
Brett Hundley's of the world. Not really that good of a good of a crop.
Like, really only Tyrod Taylor, but he's a starting quarterback.
Right.
Was not really any backups that were like, oh, we got to get this guy on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, they're going to have to draft a quarterback.
As far as draft, I looked quickly, Janelle. Brett Rypien, Boise State, about 6'2", 200 pounds, had 68 completion percentage this year. Only threw 24 touchdowns and only threw 6 picks. Again, I'd be lying to you if I said I was anywhere past the toddler stage of these drafts right now. I'm really not too far into it. It doesn't really start until, for me, like mid-March, kind of in between, you know, the sessions for March Madness. Kind of just take the time real quick to scroll through that. But Brett Rypien's guy, you know, look, obviously I don't imagine, you know, the top couple guys, Will Greer or Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins, to be there. I would think those guys are going to go higher just because of the lack of quarterbacks in this draft, and quarterbacks are always going to be sought after no matter if the general, you know, media or whoever is saying, hey, quarterback class is down, quarterback class is up. They're still going to go, still one probably going to go top 10, still probably two or three in the top 32. So looking at guys a little bit outside of, you know, the top five, that was a guy I noticed. So
yeah, and I think
that's how I would fix it. And maybe, you know, LaFleur's got his own eyes on someone else.
Yeah, and we also don't know, like, they could bring somebody in and be like, okay, no, we'd rather keep Tim Boyle, practice squad. So I think a lot of that's really up in the air. But as of right now, we like two on active roster, one on practice squad, and we're looking at Kaiser as the backup.
Yeah, yes, so absolutely.
That answers that one. So
next question.
We'll go to at Jordan Walsh, 1990. What areas of need are the easiest to fill in free agency and through the draft? Which leads into the most likely needs to be fulfilled by the early picks?
Mm-hmm. He kind of worded that goofy. So what areas are easiest to fill in free agency and then the ones through the draft?
Well, we looked at a lot of free agency.
We did. I'm just going to start. I'm going to say I think free agency for, like, edge guys is really easy to do. Depending on what you need for a receiver, I think that can also be kind of simple. I would normally say tight end, but clearly that hasn't worked for the Packers at all.
Even though there is a lot of, like,
there's a lot of decent tight ends out there. I would, you know, drafting, as far as, you know, the draft side, I think drafting linemen, the Packers have done it for many, many years, second, third, fourth, fifth round, and done very, very well. I would say if it's not broke, don't fix it with that type of idea. You know, linebackers, again, middle linebackers, think you can kind of get late. Again, you're always looking for value, in my opinion, and the Packers do well at that. That was Ted Thompson's, you know, MO is, you know, we're always looking for value, you know, draft the best player, yada, yada, yada. Well, you know, that obviously didn't work at the end of Ted Thompson's regime. Goody, I think, did a good job with that last year. Obviously got a bunch of, you know, I wouldn't say he did best available. He was like, hey, I want three receivers. We're going to go draft three receivers or a couple linemen and do that. And like the Oren Burks, I would say, was one where it's like, is that really best available, Brian? You know, drafting him in the third round, but
yeah,
I would. Those are my quick takes, I guess.
Yeah, because like we did look at the guards for free agency. Nothing that really stood out.
No,
to us.
A lot of old guys. Yeah. The one I wrote down, or the two I wrote down, was Chance Warmack from Philly. I guess he was like a first round pick for from Bama a couple years ago. He's young, though. He's like 26, 27. I would imagine they'd try to re-sign him. The other one was Quentin Spain. Only on those two premises of he's young, and he was with Matt LaFleur. So that's the only reason why he was even on that list. But
yeah, but that's a hard position to fill in free agency right now, so that one will be a little bit easier, hopefully, to find in the draft.
Definitely.
And that's kind of one of the positions we've really been looking at, because obviously that right side of the line like needs a lot of help.
Needs
right
a revamp.
Now.
And then Jordan's, like, again, he worded this goofy. No big deal, Jordan. We'll deal with it. He said, which leads into most likely needs to be fulfilled by early picks. So which, you know, first, second, third round do you see them picking? I say again, yes, I did say edge rusher in free agency, but I see the edge being super, super ton of them
with
in
their
this draft
pick. For an edge rusher.
I think that's a for sure second pick. Again, what we just said, assuming they're going to trade back, I think a lineman, offensive lineman, right side is there. And then after that, I mean, your safety, but
like
again,
secondary,
right? Possibly.
There's like it kind of like half and half. There is some good secondary players in free agency,
mm-hmm.
and there's also going to be some good free agent or draft picks in the mm-hmm. secondary. So,
and again, I think the secondary is deep for the draft too, from what I've looked at,
yeah.
thus far.
Basically, what we've concluded is that it's really hard to find right guards and right tackles in free agency.
Yeah, they're
That's
old.
That's the overall.
A lot of old guys. You don't want to get rid of them at some point. You're just going to hang on to them and, you know, ride them to the wheels fall off. So, next question. Let's go with Mr. Packers at Pacman115. With Cobb likely gone and Allison possibly gone, which receivers do you see taking the development leap and taking those spots in the new offense? Clearly, Mr. Packers is listening because he goes, hashtag go Pack go. So I would start out saying that Cobb more than likely gone. Very fair to say. Allison possibly gone. I'd have to disagree. I think Janelle and I were talking before the podcast recording that more than likely Allison will be back. He made some big plays. Janelle wanted to, you know, you said in the
yeah,
Bears games, a couple other ones.
He's a good playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
He brings down, like, him and Rodgers have developed a connection. So, I mean, obviously, Rodgers and Cobb have that connection, too.
Mm-hmm.
But there is the age difference. I think Cobb, he's kind of getting to a point where it's, like, he's replaceable.
Oh, yeah.
Allison, yes, somebody like that could be replaceable. But somebody who is younger, still has a lot of talent, works hard. I don't see him being gone. If anything, maybe, like, short-term contract,
mm-hmm.
but which receivers do I see taking that leap?
I mean, it's hard.
I mean, obviously, there's only a few receivers that we can really choose from
mm-hmm.
that come to my mind. It's hard to say that EQ or MVS will really take over, like, a leadership role. I think Adams, obviously, has already taken over
mm-hmm.
the role that used to be Cobb's, because it used to be Cobb's role that Adams was trying to fill for a while there, and now Adams is definitely taking over the leadership role of the receivers, taking the developmental leap. I hope that EQ and MVS really take that
what
leap.
What about Kumerow? You were talking
yeah,
to him before the podcast
here. I was
going
to get to Kumerow.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, but I feel like as impressed with EQ and MVS as I was this year,
yes.
there was a lot of times that I was like, they're running their routes about 85%.
Yeah.
They should be running harder. I feel like they weren't mentally in it. You could tell by their body language
mm-hmm.
that they just weren't in it, which was really frustrating to me. So I'm really hoping that they take that leap. But then you get a guy out here like Kumerow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm getting to Kumerow.
Sorry, there it is.
who earned Rodgers' praise early.
Yes.
Out of those three, Kumerow is really the only one that Rodgers has really praised, talked
mm-hmm.
highly of.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he
talked highly of Jamon more, like in preseason, and then we never really saw that accumulate
kind of
to anything. Like that was the
yeah.
one guy who was like, all right, this guy's good, because it was something with the playbook. I remember him learning the playbook early on, or what, I believe that was Jamon Moore. Maybe it was MVS. I don't remember, but
yeah.
one of those guys.
But with that connection with Rodgers, I see Kumerow taking a big step. Now, Kumerow has to be re-signed
mm-hmm.
for that to happen,
mm-hmm.
but I could see Kumerow really taking over in a spot like that simply because he has that connection with Rodgers, and when he came back after injury, you could really see that there was a better connection with Kumerow
mm-hmm.
and Rodgers versus Kumerow and EQ or MVS. There was a lot of balls that were really close off the hands, and I think I was just really frustrated with MVS and EQ mentally. Like,
sure.
I was out there. I'm like, why aren't you? It doesn't matter if this game matters or not. You need to be out there running your route like 110%. They didn't have that really mental toughness that somebody like Cobb brings, where Cobb runs his routes really hard. He knows that Rodgers is going to throw the ball a little further because you're supposed to be running that route a little harder.
Mm-hmm. I think what you're seeing, from what I saw, was them not understanding what Rodgers wants. Just because the route, you know, just because the play calls for a 5 yard dig or a 5 yard out or, you know, a 9 route, just because you ran that route and, you know, Pop Warner to high school to college doesn't mean that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing every time. Mm-hmm. But Rodgers is like, hey, there's this little quirk in the route. When you get to your third step, if the guy's on your inside, we're going to go outside and that type of stuff. So that's what I saw from St. Brown a little bit. Those types of things. MVS, I saw it was more just a little bit more what you're saying, like mental, like, hey, you're not running the route and you're not, you know, catching the ball well enough. I think St. Brown is a physical freak. I think that's very well known throughout many of the draft and whatever it was, you know, the Packers have had him, and he's a specimen. So I think my answer would be MVS. I see him taking another big leap, possibly in that number three receiver role, and then St. Brown and Kumerow kind of fighting for that fourth and fifth spot along the way.
Because it depends on if Kumerow gets signed, fingers crossed.
Yep, definitely.
Because obviously we like him, but I think they have a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
You can just kind of tell, and that was kind of a lot of the struggle this year, was the fact that Rodgers had younger receivers who didn't understand. I think people are putting a lot of blame on Rodgers, but he has younger receivers. Like, you got rid of Jordy, Cobb got hurt, Allison got hurt. His only real veteran receiver out there for him was Adams. Mm-hmm. So I think that put a lot of pressure on these younger guys, and I hope to see all three of them really develop into an aggressive receiving core around Adams.
Definitely. Next question.
So, Andrew Hetzel said, Bill Belichick has found a trend that many just don't see, and that is the vast majority of the NFL head coaches struggle mightily with adapting their offensive plan in-game. Agree or disagree?
I've been, once I figured out what BB actually stood for, Matub, who used to be a part of the Packaday podcast, still in my heart is a part of the Packaday podcast, said it was Brandon Boykin, and I'm like, there's no way. So I looked at Brandon Boykin, I'm like, he's not even in the league anymore, and the Brandon Boykin that is in the league was never on the Packers. So I don't really know where I stand with this. It's saying Bill Belichick is clearly good at changing his game plan mid-game, and why don't we see that more often? I guess it's just magnified because it's so successful is my answer. Like, it's just because you don't see it working, in quote-unquote working, because it's not resulting in a dynasty run. I don't think other coaches aren't doing that.
I would want to say disagree.
Okay.
It's not like he's the only coach that does it, but he's just always in the spotlight, so it's more easily recognized. I mean,
yeah, but he does do it really well, though.
He does do it really well, yes. I'd say he does it better, but he's not the only one.
Sure, and it's defense, too, more, obviously, because he's got McDaniels on the offensive side. So Belichick's obviously the defensive coach, and you know, he did make Jared Goff look like an infant on Sunday running that offense.
Yeah,
so,
I think it's like one of those agree to disagree, but disagree to agree. It's a hard one to answer because, I mean, it's Bill Belichick. He's one of the greatest coaches, but he also didn't win Coach of the Year.
He did not. Should have won Super Bowl MVP, though, many people think. So, next question is from Alicia at Weehee Calgirl. Interesting handle. What are the chances of keeping Allison? Pretty sure we already talked about that.
Yeah, I think that he stays.
Very high, very high, I would say. I'll run right to the next one, Janelle. It is
Luke Mills,
thank you. Go ahead.
It's been interesting to see how Goot has already reshaped his roster in the first year. Shows he didn't love Ted's roster. With the holes we have now, safety, inside linebacker, edge, slot, wide receiver, tight end, guard.
Basically the whole team.
Basically everything but quarterback. Which position should be upgraded through draft and which through free agency? We kind of already covered that one.
Yeah.
So we'll...
I think... If you can get a right guard, one of the top couple guys that isn't into his early 30s, go ahead and do that. Drafting a lineman has far, far been more successful with the Packers. I think they do that with the right side because, again, the right tackle position we looked at wasn't very good. I would say free agency, if you can get an edge guy, go ahead and try it. Don't overspend. Get someone like Janelle's favorite guy, Anthony Barr. But again, well, he's up there. He's your value guy. So, but then again, you look at the draft and like the you know, that first round is going to be loaded with edge dudes. So go out and do that. Tight end, I think from what I've heard, it sounds like the Packers are going to stick with Jimmy Graham. Safety.
I mean, Jimmy Graham with Matt LaFleur could be in a whole new program that actually works for him. So
absolutely.
I would be all for that. Absolutely. In all honesty.
He's got inside linebacker on there. I think maybe you sign a guy that I could go either way on that. Slot receiver, I don't really see that as a need, Luke, but good question. You are completely correct. It's Goot has, which I love that you're saying Goot. It's funny. Yeah, he basically has just taken Ted's roster and flipped it upside down. And I think the only one left is Quentin Rollins at this point, who we might have we might have a podcast before the snow melts that Quentin Rollins isn't even on the team anymore. So
yeah, and I would say, like, kind of forgot to mention it. I actually had Parker Moa, somebody who did ask me a question on this tweet.
Yep.
He liked the idea of Landon Collins.
I love Landon Collins.
And I would say, yeah, because for a while there, everyone was like, Earl Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And then Earl Thomas is injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it's Landon Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how much he would cost.
Nope.
Because he is one of those younger guys. But I would rather see secondary players explored in free agency than drafting them way too early again. Like, it took...
Because it's happened
it
many
took
times.
Too many years to get a guy like Alexander. I don't want to have to keep wasting those early picks
mm-hmm.
on secondary. So I'd say attack secondary players in free agency.
For sure. That was all the questions I came... Oh, no, we had Nick Schmitz at Sports Schmitty.
We're going to end with a fun one.
One of our,
contributors.
Yeah, Pack-A-Day Podcast affiliates, if you will. The Don, some would say, of intro-outro music. His question, just fired it out there early in the morning, was, is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer? And Janelle, before we even answer the question, let's go do a little comparison. We used Pro Football Reference, kind of went into his career and a couple, you know,
spans. If you look at a player on Pro Football Reference, you can actually click on similar players.
Great tool.
Yeah, we love this. We were kind of laughing.
I want to know which sap had to go through and, like, figure out who was comparable. Like, can you imagine someone, like... Like, that's going to be your job, Janelle. You're going to graduate in May. They're going to be like, you're just going to go sit in this room with, like, all this Excel file. This Excel file, and you're just going to... Who's comparable? So who's comparable to Julian Edelman?
Career-wise.
Yeah, let's go career-wise.
Al Toon.
Mm-hmm. Good Wisconsin guy.
Lee Evans.
Also good Wisconsin guy.
Albert Dubenian?
Oh, Albert Dubenian. Never heard of him?
Nope.
Oh, me neither.
Paul Flatley?
Sure.
Carl Pickens.
Heard of him.
Carlos Carson.
Good name.
Lewis Lips.
That's not even... That's like a boxer from like 1967.
TJ, okay, this one's going to be a big mouthful for me.
You don't know how to pronounce this guy? There used to be a good fantasy football commercial about him.
All right, TJ...
This is going to be gold.
Houshmandzadeh.
That's actually not too bad.
Was that close?
Houshmandzadeh.
Oh, okay. I was close.
In the commercial, they said, TJ, who's your mama? Thought that was funny.
Okay.
But TJ Houshmandzadeh used to play with the Bengals, Chad Johnson, Carson Palmer, those guys.
All right. And then you get Jeremy Maclin
yep.
and Percy Harvin.
Percy, sweet mercy. So to answer your question, Nick, I don't think any of those guys are Hall of Famers. If we're going strictly off playoff stats, yeah, Edelman's a first ballot guy. But
if we're going based on that game specifically, he was the only one that really looked like he
mm-hmm.
belonged to
the Hall. I think Edelman's really, really good.
I think the issue is that
there's just been
he's
many,
always open.
Yeah,
like,
and
he
there's
just
been
does, nobody covers
there's
him.
There's been many guys before him that have done the exact same thing.
Let's see
in that offense.
There's some other people just kind of
Eddie Kinnison, good David Boston, Nate Burleson. This is all like
Packer fans. He was being compared after three seasons to Donald Driver.
Mark Ingram as well, not the running back.
He was also being compared to Eric Decker,
mm-hmm.
which kind of laugh at because that guy bounced around the league like a pinball machine
some
and
of these
is now
names,
retired.
Some of these names are so awesome. Joe Jarovicius, loved him. Corn Robinson, former Packer. Like some of
I
these
mean,
names
we're just
are bringing.
Like,
some of these names are bringing
at these
me back.
Names too, like Marty Booker, Fair Hooker. Like got all these wild names.
Lewis
so.
Lips, that guy's probably really good. So
to answer your question,
Nicholas.
No.
No.
But we had a lot of fun looking up these guys. So yes, go to Pro Football Reference if you ever want to look up a player and compare them.
I feel like I've used it once or twice, but it didn't have as good of names. So that's all the questions we were submitted, and it's darn near 10 o'clock on Monday night when we're recording.
Yeah,
so
I think we got,
we appreciate everyone.
Long episode.
We appreciate everyone's feedback and more questions we thought we'd get to. So hopefully we answered them all.
You can always feel free to send us questions too that you have, and we'll either answer them for you right there on Twitter, or we'll talk about them in an episode.
If it's worth, if it's worth a debate on an episode, we'll talk about it on an episode. If it's, is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer?
I probably could have just tweeted back at Nick and said no.
But
we had too much fun.
Just the URL from the comparison of the players. That's all we would work. So that is episode 195 of the Pack a Day podcast. Alongside me again is Janelle Mack. You can find her at BigMac_4 on Twitter. You can find myself, Matt Fralick, on Twitter at Matt_FRA_. You can find all of our Pack a Day contributors through the podcast. You can listen to them, obviously. Find us on Twitter. Everyone's doing their own content. I know that blogs and writing for other websites. We have a bunch of new people that have joined the Pack a Day podcast team, crew. You'll hear Nick tomorrow, the Don of the intro outro, along with Maggie and Paul, who are very new to the podcast. So make sure to give them a listen. I know they're going to bring a lot of great stuff to the podcast and just add quality. That's really what they're there for. And, you know, come draft time, they're there for that. And, you know, hopefully up until through the rest of the year and, you know, many years to come. So, Janelle, any last words before we say the final last words?
Just make sure you follow the Pack a Day podcast on Twitter at Pack a Day Podcast. You can find us on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn. You can even ask Alexa.
That's right, you can ask Alexa.
So it's very convenient.
Very convenient.
That's really all I have to say. Now I'm just waiting for the chaos. I'm waiting to see what happens. I'm waiting to have my heart broken with free agency and losing players.
I don't think my heart's going to be broken with Goot.
I mean, I already
trust Goot. I trust the Goot. But how do we end every episode, Janelle?
Go Pack, go.
Shotgun formation of 3rd and 15 to the 46-yard line of Dallas. They empty the shotgun. Cobb in motion to the left side. Rodgers looks it over, gets the snap. Backpedals now under some pressure. Steps up, throws it over the middle. Good! Adams! 30! Turns upfield!